Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com,
a production of Serotalk Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 117 for July 30th, 2012. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Enger.
I'm Joe Steinkamp.
And welcome to the stage. Actually, I borrowed that line from Chase Crispin. Chase, hope you don't mind, buddy. Mountain Lion. It's here, finally.
The Mountain Lion sleeps tonight.
Yes. I just actually completed my install of Mountain Lion about 2 minutes before this podcast was recorded.
Not that she's recording on that device. She's just doing it in the background.
No, I'm not quite that stressed. That brave.
Yeah, right. The reason why she disappeared after the first 5 minutes of the podcast is...
No, 0.1 patch is available.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm waiting. I am in that mode of I'm going to wait till the 0.2 patch. But, you know, earlier last week, Apple released Mountain Lion version 10.8 out to the world and the masses. And Apple servers then immediately got hit with lots of demand. And
yeah, there was like a user stampede.
A stampede of lions? Wait a minute, is that?
It's kind of scary, actually. And I think the servers were a little
cats
afraid.
Usually are Kindles.
Oh, okay.
So there was a lot of people downloading Mountain Lion, which is lots of reviews out there. The Ars Technica review, the 24-page Ars Technica review is out there. Worth a read, certainly, if you have some time to kill on a commute. That's a fun read.
It's actually quite good. It's very in-depth. He takes you through the things that have changed since Lion and kind of talks about some of the philosophy behind what Apple is doing. And the idea is that they are moving toward a more integrated approach where the same interface that you see on iOS is going to be quite familiar to you when you move over to the Mac. They've started this with Lion, and with Mountain Lion, they kind of continue that. The article goes into document management, and there's even a brief mention of accessibility and the notification center and all sorts of stuff. Anything you ever wanted to know about Mountain Lion, you'll see in this review.
So I really haven't had a chance to do a lot of listening to podcasts, which later on in the show notes we'll have links to a couple of things. There's a main menu story for this week, a full hour on Mountain Lion. And also David Woodbridge, who did the main menu piece, also did some podcasts for Apple Viz.
But are there any lots of audio.
Yeah, bunches of it. Are there any really earth-shaking accessibility changes that you guys are aware of?
Not that I know of. I think most of the changes that have come to Mountain Lion don't have a lot to do with accessibility. There may very well be some small improvements in VoiceOver and various other accessibility things, but mostly what people have been talking about, they're talking about dictation, which this is not new to the Mac operating system. I believe I recall seeing it in Snow Leopard, and it was definitely
you could
in
do
Lion,
it before,
but it's
it's not as friendly as it is now.
Yeah. The notification center, people are talking about that. Twitter integration is certainly much tighter in Mountain Lion. You're able to share some things from Safari and various other things right to Twitter. And again, with the notification center, you can customize that. There's integration with all sorts of happy things. Be aware that for notification center, only apps that come from the Mac App Store are going to be able to push you things in the Notification Center. If you're sideloading something, it's not going to be able to access that feature.
And the reason why you still would keep Growl or a third party. Yeah.
Right.
And there's actually a few apps in the past 2 weeks that have dropped themselves from the Mac App Store because they just don't want to deal with the sandboxing rules that Apple has. And we've covered sandboxing on a previous episode, but if you're new to the podcast, there are certain areas as a developer that you're able to access, and Apple has kind of cordoned off other portions of the operating system. So only Apple can get to them, and that's to enhance the experience or frustrate the developer, depending who you are. That's, again, an opinion. But there are certain things that Apple has wanted to do to be able to make sure that they can have a seamless experience or not have an app crash and go the whole operating system. Steve Jobs is talked about in his Steve Jobs bio book with Walter Isaacson that he remembers greatly that people would blame Windows for anything that crashed. So it was always something that Apple has been working towards, that you understand that, you know, it's not the operating system's fault, it's the app's fault. And that comes with increased security. There's a thing called Gatekeeper, where you can say only apps that have been approved from the Mac App Store can be loaded on this Mac. It doesn't come that way by default. By default, it looks for those from the Mac App Store and those who have developer certificates from Apple. And then, of course, there's the, you know, go for it option, which is the third option, which means you could load anything you want. You know, that's, you know what you're doing, so go for it, power user. I guess media options are a lot better now with the Mac. That this is something that I was looking forward to, is that you're able to share media off your Mac the way that I've been able to do off of Windows Media Center or XBMC or some other options without having to rely on Dropbox or crazy Wi-Fi portions. They have increased their ability to push things with AirDrop, including audio, where you can actually throw VoiceOver to different places on different devices, which I heard Liam Irvin demonstrate, where he was excited to find out that he could control and do certain things with his Apple TV from the Mac. And also, you can actually have VoiceOver go to like headset devices and things like that. There's actually a control panel for VoiceOver in accessibility, universal accessibility. What was I thinking?
Right. And the layout of universal accessibility has changed a little bit. It looks a bit different. AirPlay has gotten some updates, including the ability to basically use your giant 55-inch TV as a monitor because you can throw AirPlay to that. Although, be aware that both this and the power nap feature, which is basically you can put your Mac to sleep, but it'll be dreaming about updates and downloading them while it's sleeping, and you'll be all ready to go when it wakes up again. These things are only available for certain Macs. And I think in general, the cutoff was early 2011. There is in the Ars Technica article, I believe, a kind of a breakdown as far as which features are supported on which versions of your hardware. And I have a late 2010 model, so I won't be able to put my Mac in a power nap state, but there you go.
The article was also very good at explaining how far back you could go, because there are some Macs that can't necessarily move to the latest version of the operating system.
Right, you've got to be able to run 64 bits, and a lot of older Macs can't really do that. So if you're wondering whether your Mac is going to support Mountain Lion, definitely check out this article and take a look to see what features you might be missing out on, or even if you're able to upgrade at all.
And be prepared for lots of updates. If you're listening to this show as we release it, it is not uncommon for those who are new to the Mac operating system to have lots of patches over the next 60 days, including from Apple itself. Apple already updated iWork and several of its own app platforms in order to help the transition to Lion. There were also some firmware updates for MacBook Airs in order to enable PowerNap. So there's a lot of bits flying around on the internets for people updating and upgrading. And if you're looking at getting a new Mac, you'll have it with Mountain Lion. The Apple Store guys have been updating things as they've been going, and you won't have to worry about any of this upgrade experience until the next version of the OS X. Also, if you don't have a trackpad like I do, you might want to consider getting a trackpad, because the functionality in Mountain Lion for trackpads is even better. So if you're familiar with iOS commands and swipes and things like that, and you're like me, you haven't necessarily gone out and gotten a trackpad. And those have started to come standard with Mac since about Christmas 2010. So if you have an older Mac like that, you might really want to consider getting that trackpad, because there is a lot of port over and gesture. To get back to dictation, Steve Sochin, our host of Saruspectives, said that it's the exact same dictation that you're getting on iPhone 4S or on iPad 3 or the new iPad. So if you haven't had experience with that.
Right. Yeah. This is going to Apple servers, so you've got to have an internet connection to be able to do this.
That, of course, defines it for why you would get an additional Dragon. Why would you use Dragon over the built-in dictation within this situation? Right. And this isn't new. I mean, a lot of future services are going to have the consideration that you're on the internet. You're just always connected. And that's kind of the philosophy going forward. There are even some Apple patents that came out this week about Apple considering integration into home automation and home servers, like what they're doing with the Nest thermostat and others, and that you could actually talk to your devices back and forth or be able to know things about what's going on in your house while you're traveling through, iCloud. So there are still a lot of pieces in this puzzle to come across where Apple is moving away from computers in the traditional sense and more into devices, appliances. And that's the way Apple looks at it. That's why they drop computer from their name, is because Apple is really looking at more of a sandboxy experience, in that these devices talk to these devices and it just works.
Apparently Microsoft Office is compatible, versions 11 and 2008.
Not accessible, right. But definitely compatible.
Not accessible yet, but it is compatible. If you're using this perhaps as a low vision user, you're going to want to update from within the software. They did make a distinction where you don't go download something new. You open the software and look at the Microsoft software update utility from within the application and update there. So
why should a Windows user care? Or should a Windows user care about Mountain Lion at all?
Boot camp?
yeah.
Virtualization parallels.
Talks about the fact that integration is happening, and that's happening with Microsoft as well. I mean, they're doing the same thing.
Crazy Windows 8. Windows 8, has so much. You talk about being online connected. I mean, they take the idea of the Apple ID and take it one step further. A lot of Microsoft services are starting to get tied to that Windows ID. In the same way that Apple's already started with the Apple ID, except the way that Microsoft is looking at it is they're going at it from the Google Amazon approach, which is whether you're on an iOS device or a Windows 8 machine, your Windows ID is how you get to their apps. Microsoft doesn't want Apple to control their user experience. So in order for Microsoft to make sure that they are providing you the services that they believe are best in their interest for their experience, their users, they look at it as, okay, if you launch here, but you're really interacting with us over here. And like you said, Jamie, virtualization, this is what's going on. I mean, video game systems are competing with a service called OnLive, where people can actually play games, but they're actually, the hardware for it is on a server somewhere else. So they don't have to worry about getting a PlayStation 3, 4, 5, or 6. The hardware just changes in the background. The device that you're using is the thin client that just interacts with it. So that way you never have to upgrade your video card or anything like that. The downside of it, of course, is it's all out there in the cloud, so you don't really actually own any of that.
And I think that's kind of the point that this article is making, is why should a Windows user care about Mountain Lion? And the answer is that it is, I won't say defining, but it is indicative of a trend, mobile convergence, basically. You have all of these different devices, and the idea is that you can access anything from anywhere, and you're going to see that regardless of what hardware you're on. All of these operating systems, including Windows 8, are kind of designed around this philosophy of who cares about your hardware? Everything's in the cloud.
Right.
And that is the future. The future is, and people misunderstand this, this isn't Mac versus Windows anymore. This really is not the argument. Mac and Apple wants to sell you hardware. Microsoft primarily is a software company. for Microsoft, it makes absolute sense for them to be on an iOS device, but also on Android and also on their own platform and stuff like that. So, I mean, for the way that things are going, the lines are becoming blurred for fanboys because the experience and, you know, who you want to root for, if you do so want to go that direction, mm-hmm. you're going to have to make some philosophical choices because it's not as easy to draw a line between good and evil, white hat, black hat, and where you want to go with your bits. Now, that's not a bad thing because you're not tied to hardware and you're not tied to a situation like what's going to happen to Windows XP, like what's going to happen if you already were a Lion user, Apple wants you to forget Lion as much as Microsoft wants you to forget Vista, because Lion pretty much is off the App Store unless you've already backed it up. And that's not a bad thing either because, you know, for $19.99, you're getting Mountain Lion instead of $29.99 for Lion. So it makes a lot of sense that they pulled it from the App Store. But the way that this is working out is that more and more of these apps are existing in a state that you are able to transport them to your next device, or it's just there for when you need it, and you don't have to think as much about, oh gosh, is that compatible with this? Did I do the latest patches? Here are all these hoops you have to jump through. Right. Whereas you don't, you know, you just sign in with your Amazon account. Pow, here's everything. And I think that's kind of exciting. Android users are used to that too. That's kind of the way Google looks at it is, you sign in, here's your contacts, here's everything like that. So everybody's borrowing from everybody else, and I think the user benefits in the end.
Yeah. So if you want to learn more about Mountain Lion and hear more of our takes here on the Serotalk Podcast Network, check out the latest Triple Click Home that should be coming out very shortly after this podcast, or maybe about the same time. And the team, Pete, Alina, John, and Buddy are going to talk about Mountain Lion and give us their takes as well. Moving on into general tech, Redbox and Verizon's Netflix competitor goes into alpha test. When I do articles sometimes for the show, I mentally put a person's name beside it. And Joe, this time yours just kind of came to my mind. It seems like you maybe might have some thoughts about that.
You know, it follows off the back of last week when we were talking about FaceTime and maybe charging somebody to use FaceTime, or when you're looking at net neutrality. This mm-hmm. article made me think of that. This article made me think directly that Verizon, who's had VCast and other inbound services, NFL Mobile, I think, is still exclusive to Verizon, not accessible at all, which really mm-hmm. is depressing. But, you know, it is, you know, exclusive. So there's some things like I think you can watch the Red Zone service on Verizon and Verizon only for free. Or, excuse me, if you're paying for that service with VCast. And that's what this made me think of, is Verizon is, like we were talking about last week, desperately trying to reinvent themselves to be more than just the guy who brings you the electricity and your water. They don't want to be a utility. They want to be a commodity. And mm-hmm. content is part of that. And partnering with Redbox, who, for, you know, all essential argument, killed Blockbuster outright, is a good move. That blows my mind. Redbox is owned by Coinstar. Who would have thought there was an empire behind taking your loose change into grocery stores? The idea that they can partner with them and then move that service, I just hope it's not, you know, Verizon only, and I hope it's not, hey, Netflix now is going to cost you a little extra because we can recognize those packets and kind of say, I don't think that they're going to do that.
Either that or they're going to do some packet analysis and throttle Netflix becomes down. Much slower. Yeah, you get mm-hmm. throttled on anything that isn't this yeah. particular streaming service, especially with Fios. They could totally do this. You know, we're going to give this stuff priority and everybody's going to say, wow, this service is really so great. And it's basically because they've made everything else so bad.
And this was the argument that we kind of sort of edged around last week with if Apple had bought a carrier. You know, there is a danger, you know, and certainly that was said about Comcast. Comcast has to report to the FCC to make sure that they're not, you know, kicking their competitors down on Xfinity.
Yeah, because they did do that at one point, didn't
yes, they?
Did. Weren't they actually caught? Yeah.
Yep. And that's why they had to get out of Hulu, and that's why all of that changed. That's why Hulu's kind of in free fall, because when Comcast was backing it, there was a great big feeling that that would help them really penetrate, and that you wouldn't necessarily go to this service or that service. And I, now that I've been playing with HBO Go and some other apps here recently, because I when I got Dish TV, it gives you free channels for a while. And so I've been experimenting with a lot of these services like HBO to Go and things like that. There's been little mom and pop operations that have popped up that tell you where a movie is on streaming. So if you want to say, at the time that we're recording, see Scott Pilgrim Saves the World, well, that's exclusively on HBO right now. Nobody's going to have that available for stream unless you want to purchase it. So right now I have to go see that on HBO to go. Nowhere else I can get that. A movie like Thor is on Epix, is on Netflix, and two other streaming services I hadn't even heard of. And so if you wanted to see the Thor movie, you actually have lots of options to be able to see that first movie. And that's the kind of complication that we're talking about. It's very easy for someone to, you know, try and own the pipes and the water that goes through them, and that's a danger.
Well, it looks like BlackBerry is finally going to do something. Maybe release a 4G LTE playbook. Maybe this month.
We're not dead. We're not dead.
No. Sega did a big press release. Sonic 4 Episode 1, a game from last year, is coming to the BlackBerry.
Right on.
Yeah, so they're coming back. I'm telling you, it's just not episode two, episode one. Learn how the story started. So, yeah, I saw that come across about the same time, literally in like hours within each other, that I saw the BlackBerry playbook thing, and then Sega put out this blog post, and I was like, oh, wow, it's very much that Monty Python Holy Grail. I'm not dead yet.
Seriously,
back on
though,
the cart. You'll be stone dead in the morning.
Seriously, though, what would a user be thinking to purchase this kind of thing? I mean, if I loved BlackBerry and I were in this ecosystem, I would still have to think and wonder, this is like a $550 device, and what's going to happen when they release BlackBerry 10 in, a couple of years or so?
BlackBerry 10, yeah.
Is this...
The bigger question is if you work in one of those BlackBerry stores at the airport, what do you do all day? Do you just dust the stuff?
I think you cry a lot.
Have time to contemplate what you've done with your life vocationally? Do you, you know? Oh, and do you look at the Apple store and go, aw?
Yeah. Submit your resume to the Apple store, maybe.
Look, you can compose your resume on this BlackBerry. I'll show you how it's done. I do it every day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they know. And I think that's what you see reflected in the stock market is there were so many of these projects that were probably already committed to. This thing was probably already in production,
because they knew they had to make an LTE device. So I guess this is kind of like, we got to do something while we're finishing up this other thing that's going to come out someday.
Yeah. You just ride the PR wave
Rim,
as best you
we
can.
We bear you no ill will. It's just that you're kind of sad.
You just make it so easy.
Yeah, this is true. This next story, NTP settles email patent suit with Apple, Google, and
everybody.
Seems like about everybody else. Yeah. I've never even heard of this. It's an email distribution system. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, this is another one of those general patents where it's so loosely worded that you can interpret it as, I've patented the ability for you to interact with a switch system that allows you to direct the current from a general area to a specific area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, ooh, so now like everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. So every light switch I now own. Yeah, mm-hmm, there we go. And that's not being sarcastic. That's kind of what's happening here. It's also what's happening in multi-touch. There was an article that came out this week about Apple supposedly having patent control over the ability to do multi-touch of just about every kind on a Surface, which is not. It actually runs right into Microsoft Surface patents and some others, and it just talks about the craziness of the patent system. We don't really talk about that very much on this show because none of us are lawyers and none of us ever want to be lawyers, to the best of my knowledge. And that's all Rob Dittman. Go for it, dude. The upshot is that there is a term called prior art. And what that means is that there are some things that you just shouldn't be able to patent, like the light switch in a way, or a mouse and a keyboard. You have to have an input. You can't control the input. Otherwise, how does anybody ever get to use anything? And that's where we're at right now, is that there's so many new emerging technologies that seem like they're new and emerging technologies, but touch has been around for a long time. Palm, certain parts of Xerox PARC, the concept of interacting by touch has been here for a while. So it's just hysterical that someone's going to jump in and say, I own X and everybody must pay me for it. Where it really got bad again, I'll tell you where it really slid, was the XML battle with that company that sued Microsoft in East Texas and made Microsoft issue a patch. Or actually what it did was the win made Microsoft issue a patch to make sure that they don't have to pay him any royalties anymore. But the, you know, there was a bit of XML code that this company said that they claimed, and it was about how docs worked, and Microsoft had to work around it in order to get that out there. And of course, we see this right now with Apple a lot more than anybody else, because Samsung is, as admitted by Apple in court this past week, Samsung is the largest maker of smartphones. Mm-hmm. And Apple has to do everything it can to see someone encroaching on what essentially is their market. Whether you want to admit it or not, iOS is the future of Apple, is their devices, is everything to them. They're not selling hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of Macs. They're selling hundreds and hundreds of millions of iPads and iPhones. So for Apple, this means absolutely everything, and that's why they're going after it. And that's why everybody's trying to say, I own this, and if I own this, you have to pay me a little money. And what I've talked about on the Android show is I just wish these things would just cross-license. Like, okay, we all help each other. We all own everything. Yeah, we agree to it. But let's just put these in a pool, a patent pool, and we all get money from it. Enough of this. I own this way to interact with this device, and nobody else can ever do it. And that, and where this breaks down to accessibility is that if Apple does something very specific with the way that touch is, no other device can do that. So what happens is people go online and they go, oh, I really hate product X because it's not like Apple. Well, it's never going to be like Apple because Apple said, nope, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to pay me for it. So we can never have universal gestures as much as people want that. And that's the part that really breaks down to how it affects us.
Yeah, well said. I mean, I was thinking about that the other day when that big article hit about, you know, Apple and the patent on touch and, you know, killing Google. And it's like, no, that's not what we want.
That's link bait. What we call in the industry, hey, I got to click on that. What are they talking about? Yeah, I mean, that article, they haven't even gotten to the appeal process.
Right.
You know, that's just the one judge, and judges are actually tired of it. Judges are tired of having to learn about technology, I think. But judges are having a real hard time being able to discern from a software, ones and zeros bit. If you hold up an iPad and you hold up a Samsung tablet, visually, physically, even tactily, there are ways to say, yeah, they copied them. That is a design. Oh my gosh. You know, you have done absolutely everything you can to confuse the consumer to make them think that your device is an Apple device. Software gets really kind of crazy in gray areas because there aren't as many generalistic ways to say rounded corners. Well, yep, you copied Apple. Wait, I can't ever design an icon with rounded corners? What are you talking about? That sounds kind of stupid.
This next article kind of got my curiosity up a bit. Jeff Bezos hijacks Amazon.com to announce a new education initiative. I don't quite get what's in this for Amazon. Maybe I am just not thinking it through.
Apparently, he doesn't have a Zeppelin, and he doesn't have glasses to jump out of a Zeppelin with. So
Hey, look at us.
So they are basically going to pay for part of the education of their employees to study various areas and get degrees, but they don't necessarily relate in any way to working at Amazon.com. It's for the people in their warehouses, if I understand it correctly.
Right, that is correct. And I have a feeling that Amazon is doing this. I feel like it's a goodwill sort of thing.
Yeah.
They want people to feel warm and fuzzy about Amazon. Look, we're not a big evil corporation. We pay for our employees to do things even when it doesn't necessarily benefit us. And I can't really think of any other reason why they're doing this. But yeah, they're telling their employees, and I think there are over 500,000 of them in these warehouses. Mm-hmm. And they're basically saying, you can go get a degree in whatever you want. If you want to, you know, do underwater basket weaving as woohoo! Your ultimate career, that doesn't do us any good. But hey, follow your dream.
Yeah.
Well, and in this day of cutting benefits, why not, right? And yeah. And you're absolutely right. There are Amazon centers going up all the time. They just took over a big 8-story office park in London in the tech roundabout. They announced another center in the United States, kind of in the middle, because eventually what Amazon would like to do is same-day service delivery. Mm-hmm. That
would be
freaky.
Sweet.
That is freaky to think about.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel a little better about Amazon than I do Walmart.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
The Megalomart, as they call it.
Yeah, that's correct. Superstore USA.
Yeah.
As South Park taught me, the heart of the Walmart is the television department. You have to kill a Walmart. You have to stop
target that
the television.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, the Amazon has to attract new employees because somebody's got to make these 6 new Kindles that they're possibly coming out with.
Yeah.
6?
That's 6 tablets. Wait. I thought that too, but here's the deal. 1 with Wi-Fi, 1 without Wi-Fi.
No, surely they're not talking about that.
No,
I mean, I...
Well, they're saying it's 6 SKUs is what I saw is the...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So... What happened here is this guy from Staples kind of outed, hey, yeah, we got like these 6 new Kindles coming. And, you know, to somebody in retail, a SKU is a SKU is a SKU. I mean, it's another model. It's really a Kindle, but it could be in different flavors. So here's one that may have built in.
Okay, so like you have the ad-free Kindle, you have the Wi-Fi only, the 3G. That's 3 for just
or different
one,
memory on board,
division.
If that. Right, exactly. Mm. So one may come as 3G, one may come as 4G, one may be Verizon only. We don't even know if they have a deal with the carriers.
Yeah.
So it could be different screen sizes. The upshot is what Ricky was saying, which is a bunch of new Kindles.
Yeah, well, that'll be fun. I wonder, and I remain hopeful that perhaps the version of Amazon Android included on these Kindles can be accessible. You know, hopefully Amazon hasn't stripped out everything and said, here's a pretty new shell over Jelly Bean. And by the way, you don't get Explore by Touch or anything like that.
Actually, a bigger question, and I don't know this yet, is Jelly Bean accessibility friendly with the Amazon Kindle app? Because that would be your better buy, $200 or $250 for a Nexus 7. If they're in stores, because they're sold out at the time we record this, that might be a little better for you because here's a $200 tablet running true Android, no variants.
If the Kindle app was accessible, that would push me toward buying one of those tablets because I'm kind of interested anyway just because I would like to play with one. I actually have a friend who has an Android tablet who loves it. My wife, Stacy, has seen one and really likes them. So, I mean, to own one in our home would be kind of nice. And if I could read Kindle books on it, that would be a real compelling reason for me.
Jelly Bean is still going through its points. I said online that I think it was rushed. I mean, a lot of developers thought that November was going to be when it showed up. So there's been some patches to Jelly Bean. It's not by any stretch broken. But, you know, the good thing is that it improves incrementally. Whereas you get an iOS 6, right, and a whole bunch of stuff. Google changes things server-side or in the background or incremental patches. So the experience on Android can change literally overnight. You just never exactly know when it's coming, which is a good thing. But the Nexus 7 is probably for those who want to be on the bleeding edge, who want to play with this stuff first. That's probably a very affordable and safe way of being able to get an unencumbered experience. In the next version of that Android show, JJ and I talk about having our Droid 4s and what we found good and bad. And JJ is able to actually compare the Droid 4 under Gingerbread, under Moto Blur versus his Nexus 7, which is running, you know, True Blue Jelly Bean without anything, you know, him hampering it. So it gets a little bit more complicated. Like Ricky was saying, it would be nice if Amazon would just turn on the accessibility features in the Kindles. So that way we could use those too.
It'd be nice if they listened to feedback about making the Kindle app accessible on iOS devices as well. You know, they've done all of these workarounds with, here's Kindle for PC, except it doesn't work with a Braille display, and you have to use this particular voice rather than your own screen reader's voice, and so on. So Amazon could do a lot to improve things for everyone if they made these apps accessible on devices which were already accessible on their own. In any case, if people have Nexus 7s out there, and I know several of you do, go take the Kindle app for a spin. Luckily, it's free. And let us know if anything is improved in Jelly Bean with this Kindle app.
And go rate it on androidaccess.net. That's kind of the smaller version of Apple Vis. So you can go and rate your apps and talk about your experiences on androidaccess.net so everybody can know. And follow us on That Android Show, twitter.com/thatandroidshow.
Nokia is trying to sweeten the deal for carriers a little bit, kind of adding some financial incentive for them to push Windows phones. No surprise here, I don't suppose.
Mm-mm.
No, I think Nokia has to do something to sort of get back in the game and be taken seriously. They've got the Lumia line that
which has sold well.
Has it really? I feel like it's been largely ignored, and I don't mean
over
just
4 million
in the blind
handsets.
Community. 4 million.
Mm. Now compare that to say 10 million Galaxies that were sold in the Galaxy S3. 10 million in 2 months. If you want some comparison, I mean, you figure that Windows Phone Lumias came out at the beginning of the year. You know,
yeah,
I just, mean, it's a game of inches.
I don't hear anybody talking
honest,
about
but.
This at all. I really don't. And I don't just mean the blind community. Obviously, we're not going to talk about the Lumia because we can't use it. But I just don't see mainstream people covering it. I don't know anyone who owns a Windows phone right now.
There's viral sites of blank in the wild. And so Lumia in the wild is one of those where people take pictures of other people that actually have the devices using them in the real world.
Again, so, it sounds like a disease.
There's one for the Galaxy Note that's hysterical. No. So it's people actually talking on the Galaxy Note or people at a restaurant looking up things on the Galaxy Note, because where this kind of got started was people wanted to know who buys these phones and what do they do with them? And so there are these viral sites with pictures of people using these devices. And the Galaxy Note, for those who are new to the podcast, this is a very large phone. It's like 5.2 inches. It's
yeah,
gigantic.
They call it a phablet.
Oh, God,
because it's not
word.
Quite a phone. It's not quite a tablet.
Hate that term.
I think they should call it. It's awful. I think they should still call it a phone. Only it's FAUX in like a fake phone.
Phone XL.
Yeah.
The Miss department for all these little phones, you know, and then there's the, there's
the phone. It's the phone.
Yeah. The tween phone, you know. Oh my God. I don't even like, now I've given them more ideas. Oh, what was I doing? Doggone.
Yeah, that one's the tween phone is the My Little Phony.
New from Fisher Price, My Little Phony.
My Little Phony, My Little Phony.
Oh,
making
way
calls
too
and I don't even remember the tune.
We need
to that.
Lyrics,
probably a good
please.
Thing.
Yeah, more. We'll have to go find the YouTube of that commercial. I'm sure.
Yeah,
several.
We'll.
In other news, Windows 8 phone SDK leaked, and that's exciting. So before the press announcement, we'll find out a lot more about Windows Phone 8 very, very soon. Codename Apollo, by the way. Love that codename.
Yeah. So didn't they have that as a codename for something else a long
Mary
time
Jo
ago?
Foley says yes, that Microsoft has duplicated codenames before.
Right.
Interesting. So Scott Thompson has a new gig. If you remember from a former podcast, Mr. Thompson sort of left Yahoo rather unceremoniously.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of accidentally said that he had a computer science degree when he really didn't. The only thing I can think, and he went to a company called ShopRunner, which is a multi-channel shopping service. The only thing I can think of is how do you sit through the interview process and get to the part where you have to kind of sort of explain how that happened?
So tell me, what happened on your last position and why are you currently looking?
Well, I what I meant by having a degree was I have a degree of knowledge about this stuff.
Nice.
degree. So moving quickly onward, I'm really awesome. And here's my the rest of the stuff I've done.
That's where you depend on your name being so common it doesn't show up in a Google search? Is that what happens? It's
like, yeah.
I'm John Smith. Well, I wasn't able to find out a lot about you, John.
Yeah. I wish him luck. You know?
Absolutely. And this is a good fit because he used to, he was at PayPal and now he's doing more e-commerce stuff with ShopRunner. I haven't seen a lot about ShopRunner, except if you go to drugstore.com, you can sign in with ShopRunner and do things that way. I don't yet really see the advantage of that over just the standard retail site, but I think this is growing.
Yeah.
Golden parachutes for everyone.
So they either really smoothed it over in the interview or someone just bluntly said, dude, what were you thinking? Were you out of your mind? What was going on there for a while?
I'm sorry.
I blame it all on the interns.
If that helps.
Yeah, right. You really know what my resume really says now, so it's all
exactly.
Or what my yeah.
Well, see, that's like the idea of flying an airline that may have had a poor safety record. You know, now that it's come out in the news, those planes got to be much better now. Everybody yeah. knows about them. glass is half full.
Well, in iOS news this week, newsflash, a new iPod Touch just might match the taller size of the new iPhone. That we don't know for sure. It's going to really be taller, but we are pretty sure it's probably going to be.
So yeah. Word salad.
All sorts of happy rumors. So this iPod is going to have a giant screen. They say it's going to have the same processor as in the iPhone 4S.
Probably.
And yeah, there's going to be an iPad Mini.
Sure.
And all this stuff is going to drop in September or maybe October or maybe
unicorns
August.
Unicorns will fly over rainbows and it'll be a magical world. It will be
insanely great.
Here's my problem with this. I mean, if you do both, right? iPod Classic. An iPod Classic at the time we record is like $250. Where do you price a new iPod if you're going to drop a 7-inch tablet to compete with the Nexus 7 at $250?
Yeah, it's going to be weird because they're probably going to have a lot of the same prices for these devices that are actually very different. So, you know, what would make you say, okay, I want this 4-inch iPod instead of the 7-inch iPad? Yeah. They cost the same. Why wouldn't I want a bigger thing?
Yeah, it just seems extremely weird or poor planning or both. Or that one really isn't happening, and we're talking about rumor and speculation here. We're still a month and a half out. You know, we will know soon because they'll have it ready for Christmas. But you know, I like the more confirmed rumors this week that the 19-pin connector is truly happening. And how do you guys feel about the headphones moving down by the pin connector?
I don't mind that a lot. I prefer it not be
right
there.
Well, it personally makes me mad because it's probably going to break any of the recording accessories that come out in the future.
But, I mean, I'll deal with that. I am actually kind of upset about the 19-pin connector thing, though. I understand why they want
to do it. What's another dongle to an Apple
it.
User?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's an annoyance where I have a house full of, older generation iPods and iPads, and now I can't use these charging connectors that I have scattered all over the house to be convenient. And, look at my Bose dock and this other little Logitech dock that I have that's way portable and stuff. Well, can't use those either unless we get some kind of Frankensteinian converter thing.
God bless the EU, because that's the whole point of that law, to have a universal charger, right? The micro USB standard or
I was
going to
say,
you
know, goodness sakes, no, we can't use a standard mini USB. That would be, are you kidding?
No, have to control the experience. And, you know, there's a lot of data that goes in those, what used to be 30 pins and now 19. Apple does a lot of diagnostics. It talks back and forth. It does, you know, video, as some people have pointed out, that there's a better video connection there. I think it's worse, though, if you had like a BMW with an iPod dock.
Yeah, again, then we're going to have to see all of these, and somebody will
need to
do
change
it,
this
sure.
dashboard out, have please.
No, they've got to have some little.
I'm sure they will. It's $29.99, just like the smart case over the smart cover. Which
oh sure yeah I mean you're going to have to pay for it, but it's better
like
than buying a whole new car.
Case. I like kind of like the smart case over the smart cover. It's only $10. And I'm sorry. It's Apple dreaming there for a moment. But that's the whenever this is another iterative step, right? This is Apple doing something first, getting reaction, and then changing it and making you totally forget that other thing ever happened, like Lion. So this is probably moved to an end. And the 30-pin connector has been around for a long time, so I can understand that maybe that's why they had to. Maybe to do the micro SIM or the, excuse me, the micro USB the way they want to get all the functionality, they had to do a 19-pin connector, and maybe the accessory has a chip inside it to do the rest, because it's probably not a straight port to be able to do USB, but they're going to have to do that because, again, it's the law of the EU that there has to be some universal adapters. I think moving the iPhone's headphone jack does a lot more, because if I do slide that into a dock, I can't connect my headphones up at the top. Or, I mean, and again, speculation.
Well, why would you want to, though? I mean, I've just put this into a dock with my speakers, and now I'm going to plug in headphones to it. I see what you mean, but I guess that's not such a big deal to me. What I do find interesting is that apparently there's unprecedented demand for the iPhone 5. Like, everybody wants to upgrade to this thing. This is a survey that's done by a group who kind of has a penchant for really exaggerating things. Last year, they said, what was it? I think 40% of people were going to upgrade on AT&T to the 4S, and it turned out not to be anywhere near that. It was 18, I think, for that particular quarter. So I don't see this thing having unprecedented demand, because look at all these people who bought the 4S because they wanted Siri.
3.7 on AT&T just last quarter by the last earnings call. So the last earnings call has said, you know, that many just bought recently.
I don't see this being unprecedented. A lot of people may want to upgrade, but they probably won't be able to.
The iPhone is slowing down in sales, and Apple on their earnings call said, okay, that was because it's seasonal. We've taught the consumer to prepare for when these devices come. And I think I've even said here that, you know, I'll get iPad 3. If I don't get it by October, I'll just wait. Because at that point in my mind, I'm coming up on the next iPad. So I don't want to do the, oh, I just bought it. Oh, I could have had a V8 moment. And we joked with Jamie, you know, about 4S and moving to the next, you know, would he feel buyer's remorse moving to the next one? This may actually turn around, and maybe people need their 30 dock connectors. And so they buy a whole bunch more 4S because they don't want to buy and change everything. Everything we just said about 5 minutes ago.
You know, I have thought about that, and it's going to depend on what the iPhone 5 brings to the table. I may very well just get a 4S that's greatly reduced in price so I can still have Siri and still have all the convenience that I'm used to with these 30-pin connectors. So we shall see.
The truth of the matter is that the iPhone will sell to those who love the iPhone, right? Apple is very good at retaining their customers. If you're on an Android phone, you may have a bad experience and then say, you know what, I'm going to try the iPhone. You know, generally, people don't go from the iPhone to the Android phone. That isn't a trend that's seen in business. I'm just saying anecdotally. I'm not saying there's market to back that up. It's a sticky platform for whatever reason, not picking platform over platform here. The other side of this, though, is everybody who possibly could possibly want one may already have one.
Yeah, so that's the point I was making, is like, bought a 4S. We already bought blah, blah, blah.
But China.
This may look shiny, but
China may buy
contract.
A whole bunch of iPhone whatevers, the next iPhones, making that number inflated and over-exaggerated. So it really becomes, where is that number coming from? Is it coming from the U.S. market? You know, Sprint came out and pretty much said this week, look, the iPhone didn't help us. It didn't hurt us. We just had to have it because nobody takes you seriously if you don't have it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is possible that the number may go up, because this will be the first iPhone launched on multiple carriers. This will be as the first iPhone to go up against, say, a Galaxy. Because, you know, Galaxy is on all these different carriers, so right. AT&T, T-Mobile.
And in fact, T-Mobile may... There are rumors that T-Mobile may get this, because aren't they doing some things to kind of retool their network so that their 3G/4G is not different and on a completely different frequency, so it can't take advantage of this stuff?
Yeah, but there's still a lot of things you have to give over to Apple. And what's being said at the Consumer Electronics Association, CTA, and others, is that carriers are really, once again, going to push Windows Phone and going to push Android because they don't want to be subservient to Apple. They're just tired of it. They're tired of buying the phones every year. They're tired of having to go through the upgrade cost and prices. They're just having, you know, and they can't put their bloatware on there and they can't control the experience. So for them, for the carriers, the iPhone brings customers in, but it doesn't necessarily get money for the carriers. All they're doing is getting them to come to use services. And that's why you see Verizon sort of saying, okay, you know what? Here's this bucket of data package. And that's why AT&T turned around and did that last week, where they were like, okay, here's this bucket of data package like Verizon, because at that point, if it's an Android, if it's an iPhone, it doesn't matter to me anymore. I'm not locked into that. I'm just going to add your device to my pool, and then I'm just going to rip you apart on the data.
Well, the best news I've heard so far about iOS 6, forget maps, forget turn by turn, it's that I don't have to enter my stupid password to download a free app anymore when it comes out.
<Woo-hoo. laughs>
That's it. That's the highlight for me right there.
Well, I love this idea, except I have a 9-year-old, and
I hadn't thought of that.
You know, I don't, he doesn't have his password, so I have to enter that now. And there are lots of free apps that are going to be great for him, but there may be some free apps that are very graphic. And I'm thinking in terms of, say, a game or something like that, where it looks very violent or something like that. And, oh, it's still free, but you have a lot of in-app purchases. But you can see this initial stuff that may not be appropriate for a younger audience. So I'm hoping that along with this don't enter password for free app, I'm hoping there is some form of parental control where you can adjust that a little bit.
You'd think there surely will be.
Yeah.
Good point. Good take. I was being all self-centered and wasn't thinking.
I know. Look at you.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. You're not the only one in the universe, Jamie. Come on.
Darn it. Wow. That's why we have a team, a group of hosts on this podcast. Yes.
That's right. Each of us believing that only we are the center of the universe.
That's right.
That's what it said on my business card. Wait a minute. I'm not. But I'll tell you what is going to happen. We're going to come back from this break. We're going to talk about some convention coverage, and we're going to have a really interesting conversation in the roundabout that you definitely may have a one-word opinion on. Stay tuned.
Looking for a cross-platform solution to quickly convert printed materials and PDFs into text, MP3, or DAISY formats? Check out Cerotech's DocuScan Plus. For just $299, use DocuScan Plus on your Windows or Mac computer. Store documents in the cloud for easy retrieval and access them from anywhere. For more information, visit www.docuscanplus.com.
Freedom of speech.
For all speech synthesizers.
This is the Cerotech Podcast Network.
And we're back on podcast 117. We've been really busy bees over the past week or so. Your RSS client may have been flooded with all sorts of fun coverage, but believe me, it's definitely well worth the listen, especially the discussion of Windows 8. It was done by Jeremy Curry of GW Micro. He presented at the AT Trainers division at NFB, and this presentation basically covers some usability changes in Windows 8, and it's not necessarily screen reader specific. He is using Window Eyes, of course, but a lot of the things that he covers in this presentation are just changes in the operating system itself and concepts that we're going to have to get used to and perhaps think about things a little differently.
It also kind of backs up why I was said last week, I don't want to jump to Windows 8 on a production machine. And I was actually secretly referring to this talk that I knew that we had coming out. But I've used Windows 8 for a while. And what Jeremy says in this, and there was an extended version of this through the computer science division, it really does hone in on some of the changes that all users are going to have to adjust to. And it's the same way with Mountain Lion. This is no different. If you're using an experience, you're used to an experience, unless you're really, really on the bleeding edge or feel compelled that there's a feature in that next operating system, be it iOS, whatever, you have to weigh those decisions as an individual. And if it's going to hurt your production, if it's going to make you less employable, if it's going to make you not work as fast as your sighted peers, then yeah, you really do need to do a little bit of investigation instead of just throwing yourself headlong into something and then have to fight your way out of it. That's no fun for anybody. So do your research and listen to things like this, and listen to the wonderful tour that Jamie had with APH. Dude, that was fantastic, and it sounded like you had a great time.
It was a great experience. Mike Hudson, museum director for APH, was excellent. He really took some time and gave us some history and took us through the plant, the factory, and showed us several products. So yeah, it was an excellent experience, a wonderful experience. You know, we have so much content. I was just thinking, as Ricky and you were speaking, that one way to digest some of that is to turn on SPN radio, because we are just rotating that right now. And so maybe you don't have time to listen to hours and hours of content, but if you've got a few minutes of time each day, you can just kind of flip on SPN radio and see what we're playing, and then get a feeling, you know, I want to hear the rest of that. So then you go and download that particular thing. So a great way to kind of get a sampling of what's going on right now.
Or go to the 2012 convention folder in iBlink Radio, where we have links to the NFB archives, the ACB archives, some of the information from Team FM from Site Village. Shout out to Brian and the crew over there. So the idea was not just to do coverage on our end. We wanted you to hear it from all sides. So that's the great part about iBlink Radio, is you can go over and relive what happened in July, or if you didn't get a chance to go, immerse yourself in hours, I'm not kidding, hours and hours of coverage that we've provided and others have provided to give you an idea of what happened at the summer conventions.
That's right. We've talked a lot about Android Jelly Bean in this show, and if you're curious about the accessibility gestures in Jelly Bean, this is Explore by Touch with TalkBack. We have an article in the show notes taking a look at that. And maybe you're interested in taking a look at Georgie, which is a suite of apps developed for the Android operating system. They've got a 14-day trial of that, and we've got a link to that as well.
And both of those are spoken about in depth on the next That Android show. Steve actually talks about that and Synaptic and kind of compares the two. So you get an idea of what's available for Android devices beyond mobile accessibility, if that's what you're into.
You know what? I can't wait through a break or anything like that. Let's just jump right in to the mailbag. Open it up and see what... Hey, where's it going? Hey, stop. Hey, hey.
Whoa, come back.
Whoa. Getting dizzy here.
Can you catch it?
The room's spinning.
Oh my God, it's a transformer. The mailbag has turned into...
Roundabout. Well, this week we actually have two items, but the first one is something extremely controversial, and it's a piece of audio we're going to let you hear, and we want you to hear it before we give you any of our own opinions. We want you to form your own first, so take a listen, and we'll talk about this in a second.
This is based on a true story. Once upon a time, there was a little girl called Emma with lots of friends. And Emma loved to play with them and ride her bike all day long. And at night, Emma loved to read and count the stars as she fell asleep. But a time came when gradually the stars began to fade.
Mummy! 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 Where are you?
And the mornings grew dim and the whole world became a blur. Emma was going blind. And she couldn't join in her friends' games.
Emma,
or ride her bike, or read her books, or count the stars.
Mummy, Mummy!
I'm here, darling. What can I do?
This is not a fairy tale. 2 million people in the UK are living with sight loss. We must help them all, and we need your help to do it. Please give RNIB £3 a month and give back the magic of books to a blind child. A talking book player changed Emma's life. Please give RNIB £3 a month and give a blind child like Emma back her confidence. Please give RNIB £3 a month and give a blind child back their childhood. It doesn't take a fairy godmother, just you and RNIB. Emma may never see the stars again, but with your help, she can reach for them. Thank you.
All right. Well, when I first heard this, I had stepped away from the computer for a bit. And when I came back, I had an instant message from Joe. And he said, have you listened to this? And so when I played it, my first thought was just plain confusion. It's like I didn't quite know what I thought. The second thing I thought was, that's kind of creepy. And then the third thing I thought was, wow, this almost feels dirty or sleazy, or I need to take a shower or something.
Yes. And yeah. We decided to get listener feedback on this because we've got a lot to say, but we figured you guys did as well.
So we threw this out there on Twitter, and Jamie said, okay, listen to this link and then reply back with one-word answers to this. And we may do this again from time to time, actually, because this is a great way to get people's opinion from those of you who follow us on Twitter, which is twitter.com/serotalk, S-E-R-O-T-A-L-K. And so let's read some of the answers that we got back from our Twitter followers.
One of my favorite ones is the word backward. I just thought that was pretty an interesting word.
Who said that?
That was Pamela Francis. Thank you, Pamela.
Ooh, backwards. High contrast fan.
Yeah. That very well sums it up. We also have from Michael Hansen, depressing. Mm. I also agree with that.
Yeah.
Buddy Brannon and Sassy Chica both basically say the same thing. Puke, yeah. Or puke worthy. Lynn Tatum says unbelievable in this day and age.
That's where I am. Yeah. Yeah.
Margot Downey, yucky. Oh, yeah.
So I've been thinking, like, for the last 12 hours of how to go about this. I mean, we could just have a gigantic rant, screaming session. But let's try to break this down a little bit. What were they thinking? First of all, obviously they need money, or they would like more money. Okay, I get that. We all probably could use a little more. But the way they went about this, it's like, okay, this poor blind child, first of all, has lost everything. And, you know, for just £3 a month, we can help her to read. And that's kind of about the only thing.
19 cents a day, yeah. You can feed this child in Africa.
That's all she's got left in her life.
Right, right.
That's all I kept thinking of was all the old care commercials. For just a little bit a day, you could give a bowl of rice.
I feel like it's the worst charity tactic ever. And it's unfortunately also the most often used tactic is to make someone feel a very strong emotion, usually pity or fear or something like that, and then get the feeling of doing good, mm-hmm. because you did something to address this sort of fear and pity that you're feeling. Now you feel like you've made some kind of difference.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna take the devil's advocate position here, whether I agree with it or not.
I'll get to that in a second. Seriously, yeah.
All right, here we go. We air PSAs on this very network. One or two of them are shock ads. I'm thinking the emergency room, the one that we play about drunk driving and stuff like that. They're Jamie and I actually go through those on the ad council and make a decision on, yeah, that'll work or that won't work. We hear some of those, and some of them are very much in the style of this ad and mm-hmm. are very much in either the pull on the heartstring or the, whoa, what?
I'll pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit, make a plan, be informed today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
So, taking a step backwards, was this any different, Jamie, than some of the other stuff that we review in PSA land?
I think what they could have done is talk about the fact that this child was going blind and she thought all these things were going to happen. But you know what?
No, okay.
She was wrong. They don't have to.
And for
to
just
happen.
£3 a day, look what you're doing to change that.
Yeah, this little girl can read, she can play with her friends. Technology can help her do anything she wants to do. And do you want to be a part of this?
And you can be a part of making that happen.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. There is one line, one, out of this entire thing that was a good line.
Yes.
She may not be able to count the stars anymore, but at least she can, but, you know, she can reach for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That was great. The rest is, and I feel like
so
this
far
is,
into that
yeah.
before you get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In answer to your question, Joe, yes, this is incredibly different. And the reason is that the shock value things, say for drunk driving and that sort of thing, I think that shock is perhaps appropriate in those situations. But in this instance, I don't think there's any shock value at all for the sighted person, because sadly, this plays in to feelings that many sighted people already have about
being blind. Oh, it reinforces the visuals
yes.
here. The visuals here on this guy's do play into that. The showing of the stars, the panic mother, the child sitting straight up
darkening.
Into bed. Yeah, I mean, that, the visual, it's too bad this actually doesn't have DVS. Mm-hmm. That would help out a little more for you guys. And I put this
for just
akin,
£3 a month, we can put DVS on this.
and that's not, wait, that's not to run the organization down.
No.
Let's be clear. RNIB is a good organization. There are some wonderful people there doing some wonderful work. This is not a shot at what this organization does or the people that work for it. I want to make sure that's clear, because I've seen some people kind of make overarching statements towards that group, and I don't think that's fair at all either, because your promotional department doesn't necessarily reflect who you are as a company. So that's kind of
right. But isn't this a board run organization which actually has some blind people on the board?
Maybe a lot of sighted who you know. Yeah. But this is also in the same vein as the Sarah McLachlan Humane Society ad, where Sarah's singing sadly and puppies are looking into the camera. And you have the "you could save a puppy" thing, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, this is what that's going
that's
for.
That's very tear-jerking. But here's the part that is probably implied, but nobody's actually come out and said it yet. We're asking for £3 a month to support this organization and allow blind people to read again. Now, what happens when a blind person later approaches somebody who is given to this organization because they're looking for employment and they're fully qualified for this particular job? You know, and the sighted person says, "Oh, yes, I've given to the RNIB. Did you learn your chosen field by reading these talking books? And
right,
do they
well,
do anything to help you travel here?"
I see you're blind,
and I
listen to Stevie Wonder. What
lost.
Musical instrument do you play? No, I know that analogy too. I agree, because that becomes your only exposure to blindness. Is
yes,
this or
and
whatever
that's
you're
the
seeing
biggest
in media.
Problem.
Yeah,
that's
no,
the
I,
biggest
I get,
problem is that an organization
the, it informs
is,
your opinion of what blind people are at that point. I know
where right.
you're going.
And I've often said that in the media, regardless of where it's coming from, what people need to see is normal blind people doing normal things. And for an organization who, you know, is meant to do things to make blind people's lives better, I think you know, helping in the portrayal of what blindness means, they could do a lot with that. And they've instead made us take a huge 1,000 or 2 steps backward in that regard.
Does it, okay, devil's advocate hat again. Does it matter though? Because if I've got a sea of ads, I'm going after the visual community, they're bombarded by, let's say right now during the political season, attack ad after attack ad or something like that. How do I get my message above? Does a positive message even ring though anymore? I mean, in general.
I think so. I think that you could do something if you want to do shock value, show blind people behind the wheel of
the
a
Google
cab
car.
Or
no.
something like that. A Google car,
we're
yes.
We're coming to get you.
This is shock value. This grabs your attention. And it's also done in a very positive way. It's not, look at these poor people, you know, cry a little, give them some money and feel great about yourself.
Yeah, there was a tin cup pencil thing there too that's kind of where my mind went a little bit too. So again, like we said, this is just opinions. Certainly they're a little bit colored or biased in some people's opinion thoughts, because we are naturally blind. We are the kind of individuals. Naturally, none of us are in the UK, so it's a totally different matter.
Right.
But we'd love to hear what you listeners have to say about this. And, you know, are we on target? Are we wrong? Certainly, we're going to have an American attitude towards this, so we can't, you know, say much. This is really something that's happening over the UK, but Damon Rose would be someone I want to hear from, or Leone, or any of you guys over at Access Talk. Hi, guys, by the way. Thanks for the shout out on your last episode.
Even more unique, though, we could get people, some enterprising souls, take your phone out traveling with you, have this video queued up, accost random sighted people on the street and say, give me your reaction to this.
three pounds a day. I would like, I won't bug you anymore on the tube. I think this is good, you know, conversation. I think it's good for us to understand this is what it's being spoken to or phrased in other countries, or this is an approach and maybe it works and maybe it doesn't, because again, we're kind of fixated on the way that the American media presents something. So we're very interested in what you have to say. Leave us an iReport. You can do that through iBlink Radio, just right over there on Android or iOS, right there on the front page. You can email us, resources@serotalk.com. That's resources@serotalk.com. You can leave us a line on Twitter. Drop us a comment on this very episode in the blog, www.serotalk.com. Then there's this thing called the blab line. If you want to do it that way, you can do it the old-fashioned way. What's that number, Jamie?
It's 866-997-2522.
You know what I was thinking would be appropriate for this video?
What's that?
I think you could play it on a toilet speaker.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Dude, there are so many analogies I will not draw.
Well, there is a device that will let you do that, and I promise our listeners, the toilet story was in the show order before the video clip came along.
Yes, this is true. There's no correlation between the two stories. Other than sometimes, other than sometimes this very show goes straight into the toilet. But
Anyway.
Speaker. Why not?
I think I prefer earbuds.
Pillow speakers.
Just
Japan, you do come up with some very interesting things, don't you?
Oh, we make happy poop.
Should I
time.
Even go low?
That's a line
like bass
from Futurama.
Notes, drums, loud volume. No, I shouldn't. Sorry.
No, but if you were having some issues, perhaps vibration.
You can play
and
one of those nature
notes.
Streams.
Yeah. That could maybe help you, you know, find the motivation. What I just said that this show goes straight into the toilet. Wow, that was predictive. I don't disagree with it, but see, this plays into that. Would you rather a speaker be already built there, or the study that says that 40% of the people take their iPhone into the toilet?
Well,
see, there's a lot of pause there. who wants to admit to that one, shall we?
I do, and I don't care who knows.
I prefer
earbuds, you don't touch
you.
It while it's in there.
Yeah,
you,
right.
You've got something
in shirt
playing,
pocket?
And
I mean, hey.
You know,
okay.
It's all right.
Yeah.
No, I think of poor Jeff Bishop and his Victor Reader stream, but you know, there's
so the next time someone hands you their iPhone to look at something real quickly, you'll think of that.
Where has this been?
Where have you been making your calls? sounded very echoey. So anyway, toilet speakers, they're great. Yeah, you should go look at that. And available now in Japan. In the links in the show notes.
Yes.
So you can see that we're serious. That
absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us this week. We've had a great time, a lot to talk about, and looking forward to your comments. The Serotalk blog, iReport, Joe just gave it to you. Patrick's going to give it to you again before we're done. So until next time, have a great week.
Thanks for listening.
You've You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com. Send us an iReport with iBlink Radio, available in the Apple App Store and the Android Market. Or leave a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.